Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
And welcome into Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, a sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, coming soon to Ohio on ESPN 850 Cleveland. I am merely Bo, the great Gibby here from the undisclosed location on a Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily. Memorial Day weekend. Away we go.
Oh, the summer has officially arrived.
It's here, man.
The weather looks great.
Warm. Going to be a warm one.
When was the last time that you had every single day? Like, the worst day is probably today. It's in the it's in upper 60s and sunny. That's going to be the worst day of the weekend.
And then it gets really hot, like next week.
Let's
right?
go.
Like 88. Is that where we're at? I thought I saw for next week. Okay, so yeah, we're in our 60s today, but it's sunny. It's gorgeous. And then next week you get your mid 80s start to pop in there.
Perfect.
Little bit. Get a little bit of that going on. So it's wonderful. This is one of my favorite weekends in the state of Ohio. We always go up to the lake. We've got a bunch of lacrosse this weekend, so we'll be doing that. But we always go up to the lake, and it feels like. It's almost like Ohioans have come out of their homes.
Yes.
And we'll be out for 3 months, and then it'll be football season like that. We don't want to rush that, but this is one of my favorite weekends of the year on the calendar when you get into
this. It's great.
Yeah.
Again, like in the past, you always have a day where it might rain or a day where it's, you know, it's a little cooler and it's not such great weather. That is not going to be the case this weekend. I think anywhere you go this weekend, prepare for long lines, lots of people. I think everybody's going to be out and about this weekend, which is great. Get out and enjoy it because, as you said, it's not like we get this 12 months out of the year.
No, we don't. We're basically sick from November to April, or in the case of my kids, November to mid-May.
Yeah.
And so, like, this is the time where we thrive a little bit. And it's this has been – you think about this Browns team. This has been a week of – really important work getting done and a glimpse into what Kevin Stefanski is trying to do here, especially with this offense. Marquise Goodwin obviously had a big day when the media was here earlier in the week. And then we'll get into mandatory minicamp here in a couple of weeks. But in terms of laying that groundwork, getting that offensive established, Watson looked really good this week. He spun it nicely. The thing that jumped out to me on the defensive line, Gibbe, and then in the pass catching situation, a lot more size in both of those rooms than we're used to seeing.
A lot more size.
Yeah.
I mean, the offensive line looking good, but defensively, a lot bigger. From the guys you drafted to the guys you've signed in free agency to the guys you've traded for in Za'Darius Smith. You are bigger across the board. Jim Schwartz has to be loving every single minute of it. And you mentioned big on the lines. I would be remiss if you didn't talk about the tight end position.
Yeah, Akins is going to be
–
I mean, we talked about that with Tyvus yesterday on the show. Like, we played his presser for you guys. He's an impressive dude, and you start pairing him with the Chief, and now you got some stuff there where they're going to be in a rotation. Harrison Bryant's still there. He's a big guy too. So, you know, I think probably one thing that happened this offseason was it was a conversation of, like, you know, with Deshaun and Kevin, like, what do we need here? What type of weapons? And I think the message is pretty clear that Deshaun Watson likes big targets because he's got a lot of them now to throw to.
Cedric Tillman?
Yeah.
Who you've drafted?
Yeah.
Very, very big. 6'3", 6'4".
Absolutely.
I mean, you've got some guys that, A, can get down the field, can catch the football, and are big targets.
Yeah.
And that's lots and lots of weapons here for Deshaun Watson, and more importantly for Alex Van Pelt and Kevin Stefanski as they figure out what plays they're going to be running here in 2023.
Yeah, just the look of it. I mean, we're going to be out of the gun a lot more. We're going to be throwing it a lot more. Of course, you're going to be able to rely on Nick Chubb when the weather is bad, but it's not going to be an offense that's predicated on that run game. And I know that, you know, for a lot of our fans, you know, because Nick has been so good, there's this propensity to, you know, run the ball, establish the run, all of that. But that, when you think of the arms race that is the AFC, there's a limit to that. You've got to be able to throw the ball when the other team knows you're going to throw the ball, and we ought to be able to do that. We have the weapons for that. We have the quarterback for that, and that jumped out to me. You mentioned Za'Darius Smith. Juan Thornhill, too. Two new guys that have been pumped into the mix here. Obviously impressive on the field, but I think what jumped out to me was in their two availabilities were there's some juice to those guys in terms of off the field. There's a little bit of accountability. There's an excitement to them. Kind of a breath of fresh air for both of those guys in those rooms.
I would also include this guy, McLeod,
yeah,
at safety. I mean, he had the interception the other day in 7-on-7s during OTAs, and no one knows Jim Schwartz's defense better than he does. And
yeah,
that safety room's got a lot more depth and a lot more help for Grant Delpit.
I think it's the only thing left. I mean, you take anything. I mean, we talked about this earlier in the week. Like, if DeAndre Hopkins becomes available, yes, you take him and you figure it out later. And the same is true with a lot of different positions. But I do wonder if they will want to add another veteran to the middle of the defensive line. You know, by the time you get to camp, that could be something that could be out there. But I think they're very comfortable with where they are, with Za'Darius in here, with the two safety additions. It's a team that passes the look test now.
It does. We talk about it constantly. It's the arms race. Well, is there room for another arm? Sure.
Yeah.
Is there room for another body? Absolutely. But are you comfortable with what you have going into 2023? I think absolutely is the answer to it. I mean, I feel real good on the defensive line. Maybe some interior defensive help.
Yeah.
And that could still come here in the coming weeks because you freed up a little bit of money. But don't forget, you freed up the money, then you acquired Za'Darius Smith. And while you redid his contract, you're on the hook for $10 million here. So,
yeah,
you know, that's a big chunk of change. So I like where we're at. Offensively, I think your wideouts, I mean, you're 6 or 7 deep. We talked about it with Tyvus. Marquise Goodwin, maybe the forgotten man.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to be forgotten for very long based on what you saw the other day.
Yeah, that was illuminating. We talked about him, but we always talked about him from the perspective of his football playing career in San Francisco and Seattle and Buffalo and everywhere else and kind of the pops he gave those offense. And we talked about that at great length, but it wasn't until Tyvus mentioned that yesterday that I guess I didn't take the time to look into his past from a pure speed standpoint and that he's one of the fastest guys in the league, that he has that world-class speed. And that shown in the wide receiver outing on Wednesday.
Yeah. I mean, he was constantly open. He was constantly finding the seams.
Yeah.
And Deshaun Watson immediately had a nice little chemistry going with him. Now, I think it's been great in these off-season workouts. And, again, they're voluntary.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be here if you've got conflicts, whatever. But, like, Amari Cooper has been here for almost every single workout. Like,
yeah.
Elijah Moore has been here. I mean, Goodwin's been here. And now you have Cedric Tillman and David Bell, a guy that a year ago, I think there's still high expectations for. You know, Anthony Schwartz is here. I mean,
yeah, you can't. I think the other thing, too, I mean, you bring up Schwartz.
DPJ. I'd be remiss if I didn't do that.
Yeah. I think all those guys, you know, have been on board with Watson. I mean, all those guys went down to Puerto Rico. I think the one thing that is abundantly clear this week, and really was abundantly clear this whole offseason, but we saw it, you know, kind of in practice out on the practice field this week, was that we're not waiting for anybody to develop anymore. We don't have time for that. Like, it's time to go. There's a tremendous amount of pressure on the staff, on the players, on the front office, on ownership, on everybody who's associated to field a winner, to be a team that contends in the AFC North, to be a team that can make a run in the postseason. That's where you're at. You have a bunch of your best players in their prime. They're being compensated. It's time to go. And so we don't have time to wait to see if somebody can turn into something that you hoped that he would be when you drafted him. We're long past that point. So it's time to go a little bit. And I think that part became abundantly clear this week as well. We knew it all off season. It's been obvious with the moves, but also just seeing the way that it was put into practice on the field, you got a little taste of if you're not on this train moving forward, then hop off, or we'll push you off because there's no time to waste.
Winning is now. It is not next season. Yep. It is not building for the future. The future is now. And if you need further proof of that, just look at what Andrew Berry has done here recently.
Yeah, got it.
With the trades he's made for Moore and Za'Darius Smith and the players he's brought in here to solidify this roster. So, I mean, 1 week of OTAs is over. Now you got another week coming up, and then you have mandatory minicamp. I mean, you've essentially got 7 days with the guys.
Yeah.
8 days over the course of the next 2 weeks. And then that's it until training camp.
Well, and training camp's about 6 weeks later because, you're going to be down at the Greenbrier soon enough. You're going to blink. You're going to be down there on July 22nd or 21st, whenever that thing gets started. So the groundwork being laid, I think it was a very good first week. I know that there was a lot of tension on who wasn't here this week. I think based on who those people are, don't worry about it. I tried laying it out for people on Wednesday. Obviously, everybody would want everybody here, but at the same time, there's got to be an understanding of
they'll all be here in a week.
Yeah.
They'll all be here in a week for mandatory minicamp.
Yeah.
And I think everybody will be ready to go, and I would expect to see some really good battles that week of minicamp.
Yeah, I would agree. I think you'll see a lot of that stuff. In terms of on the show today, some stuff to look forward to. I mentioned Juan Thornhill. Really impressive. You're going to hear what he had to say about being a Cleveland Brown. Elijah Moore, they feel like they stole him. They feel like that's first-round talent that they were able to poach. It has not materialized yet. He has flashed a little bit here. He has not had the start that Goodwin's had, but he has flashed a little bit. So we'll see, you know, what the next couple of weeks look like for him. We will have backstage passes. So these are Z's. This is with Dorian Thompson-Robinson and Big Thanos.
Yep, exclusive one-on-ones.
We'll have those exclusive one-on-ones with for you coming up on the program as well. In addition to that, we have some schedule fun from the BPA. Of course, you got that in here, naturally, as you would.
Donovan and I, The Voice, breaks down the Browns' schedule literally right after it came out.
You're talking about The Voice breaking anything down.
Yeah, I just sit back and kind of tee him up and let him go.
I like when he breaks down what he's feeding his horses. So if he's doing the schedule, then that's an even bigger win. And then, of course, Rich Eisen on the passing of the great Jim Brown. This, you know, is a week ago today where we found out, and now it's been a little bit more than a week. And so proper homage paid to the great Jim Brown from Rich Eisen, who's a great friend of the program. You'll have that as well. That is your menu for this edition of Cleveland Browns Daily. We're off and running. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Valley Bet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
And welcome back into Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Bally Bet, a sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, coming soon to Ohio. I'm Jason Gibbs. This is a special Memorial Day weekend edition of Cleveland Browns Daily. Glad you're along for the ride. Right now, time to hear from one of our rookies in this 2023 rookie class. It's quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson, an exclusive Cleveland Browns Daily one-on-one interview with Nathan Zagura.
Here with the newest Browns quarterback rookie Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and DTR, it was great talking to you on the draft day when you got the call. What's it been like the couple weeks since before you got here for rookie minicamp?
It's been super fast pace, moving really fast, but I'm enjoying it all, trying to stay present in every moment. Just got here for rookie minicamp, and I'm itching to get on the field, but I know that classroom is very important to make sure, I'm taking notes and studying and watching tape. So. Trying to dive into that as much as possible, but again, it's all football now. I'm in the NFL, so I get to focus on ball, and I love to do that. So,
did you and Cedric get together in the interim before coming back out here?
Oh yeah, for sure. We definitely had to run some routes and make sure that he's up to speed and I'm up to speed with him, because we haven't played with each other since we were in high school.
Yeah. So. Was that fun?
It was super fun, super
fun.
Like
to know you're going, hey, we're going to go to our NFL team now together.
And I was praying that I had at least some type of familiar faces in the building.
Yeah.
Luckily here, I have about four or five.
Yeah.
With Cedric, Bubba, and Demetric. So definitely coming here and having those familiar faces definitely eases my transition and makes it a lot easier for me. But I'm just excited to be here for sure.
So you talk about get out on the field. That's what you love to do, right?
Yep.
Play the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at UCLA, your career, I mean, you were the face of the franchise, all-time leading passer in school history, passing touchdowns, total yards, all of it. Then you come here, and this is now the rookie minicamp, and Deshaun Watson is here. But you get to come out here and try to say, here's who I am, here's what I can mean to this organization.
Yep.
Is that fun, kind of that transition of, you know, you were the man, and then kind of starting over and earning that opportunity again?
Yeah, my biggest thing has always been to embrace challenges. So for me to come in here and having Deshaun in front of me as well as the rest of the quarterbacks and me being on the bottom of the depth chart is probably the biggest challenge I've had in my career. So it's going to be super fun for me. I'm looking forward to learning those guys, making sure that Deshaun has everything he needs to be successful this year, and making sure that I'm helping out that quarterback room as the best I can as well as the rest of the team. So
you mentioned your last year. You were done with school, right? Going into your last year. So you said, I got to just focus on ball.
Yep.
69% completions, career best for you. You had a great, great final season. So you kind of have a head start on a lot of these guys of like what it's like to be a pro in a sense, right?
No, for sure, for sure. That was kind of the mindset and the goal going into my senior year or my extra year, my fifth year with COVID. That was the goal for sure, was making sure that I'm checking off the boxes off the field as well as on the field, obviously, but more so off the field, because if all that stuff you have to worry about, then you can't worry about ball, then it doesn't matter anyway. So I made sure that I used my last year to my advantage and not just having a year just to have it. And it really served me well. So
you probably also enhanced, I'd imagine, your film studies because you had more time to do that. And that will serve you certainly very well. As you know, that is basically, it's got to be a lifestyle to be a quarterback in the National Football League. What's it been like kind of just the first meetings, getting in there with Coach Stefanski and starting to understand Coach Van Pelt, kind of starting to understand what this offense is going to be like and how it's probably a little bit different from what you did at UCLA, but I'm sure there are some similarities.
Yeah, there's actually, that's probably the one thing I've been most surprised with. There's actually a lot of similarities. Not only in just the offense, but just the way the building is ran as a whole, with how Coach Kelly and UCLA does it at UCLA. I think it has helped me tremendously with the transition. But just really just working with AVP and Ashton in the quarterback room and going over the meetings and everything, really trying to ask as many questions as I can, annoying them with questions right now is my goal, and trying to get all the information I can to be successful. Not only just this weekend, but obviously in OTAs and in regular mini camp and then in training camp. So I'm really trying to take advantage of every opportunity for sure.
I'm sure. And I bet some of the other receivers already come up to you and be like, hey, I know you and Cedric are tight, but don't forget about me over here. Throw me the rock,
They're
going to get a little love there. All right. You mentioned, you know, the Washington game when you and I talked. So that was the game that you said, you know, put somebody who wants to watch me. I went back and watched it. I would say that you were an artist in that game. What was kind of your favorite moments from that particular game that you'd say, all right, this kind of gives you the full picture of what DTR is all about?
Yeah, I think my favorite play from that game was it was either a second or third down. We're running mesh. I'm sitting in the pocket. I throw it. The ball gets batted in the air, and then the other D lineman tries to catch it, and I hit him right in his chest. And then after that, we end up driving down. And that was a big play of that game. And that really like changed the kind of the trajectory of where we were going, not only on that drive, but just the rest of the game, because we were already up. And so I think that was probably one of my favorite highlights
of that
game.
Look at our quarterback go out there.
O-line loved it.
I bet they did. So I would say you're an artist with your ability to throw and to run, but you're also an artist as we look at your body adorned with many tattoos, obviously something that you love, but you design these?
Yes, sir. I have always been big into art. And I've tried to express myself as much as I can through my artistic abilities, and tattoos is obviously a big one of them.
How old were you when you got your first one?
I was 18. Okay. Couldn't get it until I was 18 because my mom.
So we've done a lot of work in the last four years.
Yeah. Okay. After that, I only got one when I was 18. Then I waited until probably until I was in college to get the rest of the stuff. So, I've definitely added a lot of work.
All right. What's your favorite from, we'll call it from an art standpoint, and then we'll get into sentimental. What's your favorite from like an art standpoint?
Okay. So this one on my right forearm with Dwayne is a tribute tattoo that I did for him for his passing, and just how I kind of matched all this stuff together. Like it's a picture of me and him here. It's his him in his uniform, and then there's a DM from someone that I got about him.
And what's, just to give people the backstory, what did Dwayne mean to you, and how did you guys get so close?
Yeah, so Dwayne is actually how I met Deshaun. Him training in LA and bringing Deshaun and him having the same trainer is how I got connected with everybody. And Dwayne, as well as Deshaun, has been very instrumental in my growth in college. Being able to keep in contact with those guys, being able to have questions, reach out whenever I need to, and them always being able to be open and answer that. I think it's been very big for me, and he's obviously been a big inspiration to me. So,
absolutely. And you mentioned Deshaun, as in Deshaun Watson, I'm guessing.
Yes,
so
sir.
How crazy is it to be coming here now that you had that relationship with him that pre-existed?
No, it's super cool. And again, I think it works to my advantage and my development. You know, I know sometimes a veteran guy doesn't always want to help the rookies because they think it's not their job and everything.
Sure.
But again, me having that personal relationship with Deshaun, it not only helps him get to know me better, but me get to know him better, and us working together and being in the same room together, I think will be a healthy thing for the both of us.
Oh, yeah, that'll be great.
And yeah, it'll be super fun. It'll be super cool for sure.
All right, I have to ask about it. Scrooge, I'm guessing there.
Yep,
Scrooge
Uncle Scrooge. McDuck.
Uncle Scrooge. How did we go there? I mean, I'm a big Scrooge guy. I'd like to be diving into, you know, my vault pool of money. It'd be great for me. Not happening yet, but Scrooge, great character. How did he end up on your leg?
Just like you said, I was always fascinated with the money part of him, and just, you know, he's kind of like a Mr. Krabs almost too.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it's just something I always liked and iconic to me. So
I like it. I like it. And then I see a Fearless over here and the wolf. What's the symbolism with the wolf?
So we got a wolf face and then we got a baby wolf underneath. That's my brother and me. I have an older brother. And I like to think that he watches over me all the time. Whether we're out and we're in person, he's looking to beat somebody up if they're trying to mess with me. Or if, you know, I'm far away now, he's always praying for me and making sure that I'm straight. So that's kind of what that represents and why I got that.
That's awesome, man. It's cool because you have, you know, family back in Vegas, right, that is now your family here with the Browns. But it feels like that's important to you, right? Family,
right,
and close relationships. I've only known you very briefly, but I feel like that's kind of the core of who you are, right?
No, for sure. And same thing with football. I love my teammates.
Yeah. Makes you a great leader.
Exactly. It always helps just serving other people. I found out that servant leadership is the best leadership. If you just put your neck out there and being able to help people instead of trying to help yourself all the time, it's going to pay more dividends than anything you could do just by yourself. So
I feel like you must have just crushed a lot of this interview process. I feel like you're saying a lot of things that are like right out of the Browns playbook, and probably just that's what anybody wants out of a quarterback in the NFL, right?
Sure.
Somebody that's willing to lead, servant leadership, as you mentioned that. And then, oh, you've got the game to back it up. So this is an exciting time, man. I'm pumped for you. Welcome to the Browns. Congrats on your dreams coming true. You signed the contract. What was that like, signing on the dotted line, making it real official?
Yeah, it was super cool. I've been asking my agents a ton, trying to see when it was going to get finalized.
Yeah, let's do this.
Let's get down to minicamp and let's get this thing started. But glad it's all here now. Glad it's all gone through and we're all ready to go. Like I said, I'm just ready to get on the field and get practicing. So.
All right, what do you hope when people get to come out here and finally get a look at DTR? What do you hope that they see?
The same things they've seen on Saturdays and the same things they've seen on Fridays. A kid that's going to compete his tail off and is super smart and going to put his team in the best position to win. And making sure that his guys around him are doing their part too. So
I'll tell you what, I'm excited we have an extra preseason game because I know that just means more action for you
guys
out there this fall. DTR, congratulations. Welcome to the Browns again, and thanks for the time today.
Hey, thank you, man.
All right, man.
Looking forward to seeing Dorian Thompson-Robinson this summer in training camp. Going to get some snaps then, obviously, in those preseason games. With four preseason games, I think we'll see quite a bit of Dorian Thompson-Robinson in 2023 in the preseason leading up to week one, giving you a little taste of what could come in the future from the UCLA quarterback. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, more from Rookie Minicamp Weekend, an exclusive one-on-one interview with DeJuan Jones. That's next when Cleveland Browns Daily continues on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
There's a new way to cheer on your Cleveland Browns with the help of your favorite four-legged companion, Barking Backers. Presented by Milkbone is the Browns' newest club for pet parents worldwide. Sign up today at BarkingBackers.com. Barking Backers, the fan club for dogs. I'm Jason Gibbs. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. It's brought to you by Ballybet, a sports betting partner for your Cleveland Browns, coming soon to Ohio. We continue to look at our 2023 rookie class. Here's another Cleveland Browns Daily exclusive. Ohio State lineman DeJuan Jones and new Cleveland Brown sitting down with our Nathan Zagura.
DeJuan, first of all, congratulations. Again, the last time you and I talked was the day that you were drafted to the Cleveland Browns. What's the last couple of weeks been like to get you here for rookie minicamp?
You know, it's been surreal. You know, me and my family, we celebrate on the Saturday, the same day I got called. You know, but I got here this week, you know, just been celebrating it just by getting better every day.
So you go to the Ohio State University. Now you're going to start your pro career also here in the state of Ohio. What's that like? Because I'm sure it's, you heard about the Bengals, you heard about the Browns being a Buckeye and everything, and now you're right here, just right up, you know, 71 here in Cleveland.
You know, it's a blessing. It's crazy. You know, I went to Ohio State for 4 years, and now, you know, I'm back in the same state that I started in. You know, it's like I said, it's a blessing. You know, all the family and just get to come to the game, you know, whether it's the student section, they still get to come support me, and it's just love, I feel like, always in Ohio.
That's very cool. All right, when did you know that you were a big dude?
I would say probably freshman year, you know, just because
of high school.
Yeah, okay. You know, I could just move people around just a little bit easier, so I think that's when I realized, like, you know, I can use this to my advantage.
Yeah, we know that you love hoops. We watched the high school highlight tapes. I noticed 54. Was that a tractor trailer thing, or was that, how did you end up with 54?
I got 54. You know, it's just like a traditional number. So, like, in our history of Ben Davis, if you go down the pictures, everybody, every center had a 54.
Okay. And so it's a school tradition.
It's definitely like our tradition. And even we got the chance to change our numbers our senior year. You know, I was like, nah, I'm going to stick with 54. And it just clicked with me. It stuck with me. I feel like it fit me, too.
What do you love about basketball? Because I know you love that game.
Probably just like competing. I think that's in any sport, you know, whether it's basketball, football, I just love competing. You know, just knowing that the other person can't guard you or can't get past you, you know, that's the whole point of the game.
Well, can't get past you. Now that's your job here in football now. What do you love about football?
Football, the dedication, you know, like I said, the competitiveness, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody just loves to come out and work. You know, it's the next level. It's not just scout team. You know, every man wants something. You know, I love that.
When did you realize that, okay, you loved hoops and you even thought about going and playing hoops in college? You go to Ohio State, you play football. Last year, you don't give up a sack in the Big Ten. When did you kind of know, like, all right, yeah, this is a pretty good sport for me as well?
I would say after my sophomore year, you know, Coach Stud, he just kept telling me, you know, just you keep doing what everybody else is doing. You know, you see the guys that you see come out here, guys like Josh Myers, Wyatt, you know, Paris, you know, they do the same thing we all did. You know, we'll come out with the same result. You know, I did.
Do you love, I feel like the answer to this is yes, but you love the domination, right? You love when you can just call a run play to your side, you just erase somebody off the mat. Big Thanos, right? Make
yes,
them
sir.
Disappear.
Yes, sir.
Was there, after one of those, ever somebody like, dude, what is the deal? Like, how are you going to do me like that?
It's one game against Northwestern, and it was just like after the whistle. And, you know, I don't know. I was just pretty mad. I don't know. I just felt like we just really wasn't doing that well. And, you know, I just went after the whistle, and dude just threw his hands up like mid-play as I threw him. And so you just see him fall down with his hands up. And so
he wasn't even trying.
Yeah,
like,
nah.
Okay, fine.
And that's definitely like one of my favorite plays from this past year.
When did the Big Thanos nickname come up?
It came our freshman year of college, the Northwestern game, and Master Teague broke out for that big run. Down the middle, it was a crunch play. I remember Mitch Rossi came back and crunched the end. You know, I watched down the whole line. And that's where I got the name from ever since. You know, Coach Stamp, he was our player development guy. He was like, you know, guy called Big Thanos. You know, he raced the whole line, a D-line. So, yeah, that's where it came from.
Did you like the movies?
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. I just had watched it that summer. I want to say right before.
Okay.
Two summers or a summer before I watched it. And so I was like, it was real good. And then once you see him snap, and I was like, you know what I mean? I kind of like it. And, you know, I'm not the villain guy, but, like, you know what I mean? Getting that persona.
You're doing snaps for good.
Yeah, it's kind of
right,
good.
For your team.
Mm-hmm. So it's good.
It's awesome. And it's a great nickname.
Yes,
I mean,
sir.
It's one of those that it kind of writes itself, big dude, erasing people.
Yes, sir.
And it's a fun one. It's a fun nickname to have going forward. All right, so you come in here now. And you may be Big Thanos coming in to Bill Callahan, Scott Peters. You're the next guy that they get to develop. What's that kind of been like going in with somebody who's coached so many All-Pros, so many Pro Bowlers, and really gotten the best out of everybody that they've worked with, knowing that you come in here? I remember when we talked, you said, I've got the size, I've got the power, all that. I got to master my technique. You're here with the foremost offensive line technician on the planet. How's that been so far?
It's been going well. You know, we attacked today pretty well for the first day, whether it was film or on the field. You know, he just made sure I was just taken care of, you know, on and off the field. And I love that about Coach Callahan already. You know, I feel like we're going to build up a nice connection.
Yeah, and then you got Scott Peters in there. We were talking earlier. A big dude, not as big as you, but a pretty jacked guy right there.
Yes, sir.
He's going to get into things like if your thumb's here, you're stronger than if your thumb's here, and all these little nuances. Is that exciting for you, knowing that, you know, I say you're a mountain of clay, right, for them to mold? To know that you've got these people that can kind of chisel it down and get you exactly where you need to be? Because, you know, you talk to people like Joe Thomas, who's going in the Hall of Fame this year, played tackle here for the Browns, and he said after watching your tape, he goes, if we can get this guy a quick kick step, this guy's going to be a Pro Bowler his entire career. So it's got to be fun.
It's good hearing, and, you know, I got to put the work in. And, you know,
no doubt.
Coach Peters just talked about today, you know, just using different leverages of the hand, you know, where to put it at, like you said.
It's
crazy, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost strength and conditioning stuff, you know what I mean? Like, it's activating different muscles, and, you know, Coach Peters talked about it, and I heard that from Coach Mick, so I know, you know, Coach Mick talking about it and Coach Peters talking about it, so it's got to go some type of correlation. So, you know, I like that today.
So you felt like you'd already heard some of this stuff, which is good, right? Gives you a little bit of a head start.
Yes, sir.
So I heard you love the game. It probably helps you keep in shape, get to shoot the rock a little bit. You already made some moves, right, to make sure you can be shooting the rock whenever you want.
Yes, sir.
What'd you do?
I went and got a basketball. You know, I got it delivered to the hotel, and, you know, I just, like, went to the free throw line. It's like, you know, my piece. You know, Steph Curry talks about going to play golf, and, you know, when I got just one piece at night, you know, I just go to the free throw line. You know what I mean? Take a deep breath. You know, it's cool. You by yourself, you just get to work.
What's your free throw percentage?
I shot, 60% in high school? So
60%? All right.
It's not bad for a center.
Not bad for a big guy, but I feel like, you know, you're going to get into the zen. Maybe with some of these techniques, you're going to be like, get it up to 80%. And it's probably good, like you said, clear your mind. You're probably digesting so much stuff about an NFL offense, the NFL schemes, the NFL adjustments, that it's probably nice to get it to decompress every now and then.
Yes, sir. No, most definitely. You know, like I said, it's something that I love to do in my free time. You know, I also play the game, you know, just taking away. And, you know, I play Madden, but, you know what I mean, I'm not, most of the time I'm beating somebody. And so it kind of, like, eases me out, you know what I mean? Like, I'm playing somebody beating by 30 or something. So it helps out a lot.
You excited to get out here and have the chance to do some battle with a guy like Myles Garrett and say, okay, let's see where I'm at right now, right?
Yes, sir. You know, coming from Ohio State, you know, you don't want to compare players, you know what I mean? Going to get some of the best players like Zach, JT, you know, they're not – of course, the same caliber, but they will be one day, and you know, it's just going to be good. It's going good on good every day in practice, and I can't wait.
So they talk about like a bus team, right? You walk off the bus and everybody head turn. You're an all bus team type of a guy. Mm-hmm. But when you want our fans watching you, what is something that you want them to be thinking about, other than your big Thanos, other than you're going to go out there and you're going to dominate? But what's something you want them to know about you, the person?
You know, I'm just caring, loving, you know, I make sure, you know, the community's all right, you know, I make sure everybody else is right on the team, you know, before even myself, and, you know, I know that half the time, you know, sometimes I'm just too caring, you know, I just need to worry about myself, even though, but, you know, I just want to make sure that the fans know, you know, they give my all.
Duane, it is a pleasure to meet you. So excited to see the start of your Browns career. Starts right here at this mini camp, and still got a long way to September, but a lot of work to go. But it's going to be very exciting, and certainly happy to have you here in the franchise.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
And again, another player we're looking forward to seeing as we get into training camp and the countdown to the 2023 Browns season, Duane Jones. Appreciate a few minutes of his time. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back from the podium this week at OTAs, new Browns safety Juan Thornhill. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
The Cleveland Browns 2023 schedule is here. Get your single game tickets now for all of the great matchups at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/tickets. to purchase yours today. From earlier this week at OTAs, new Browns safety Juan Thornhill met with the media. Have a listen.
I'm guessing you got a little baseball background after I saw you last night.
Yeah, I got a little bit. I mean, last time I played baseball, I was probably like 9 or 10 years old. I used to play in the backyard all the time, so that's why I kind of know how to handle a baseball. Most football players never play baseball, and they try to throw the baseball with it right directly in their palm so they never get it there. But I know how to actually throw a baseball a little bit.
I heard AWOC was struggling over here trying to get ready for tonight.
I didn't see it, but I also heard the same thing. So I'm excited to see his pitch because it's going to be bad.
I know it is.
Did Kelsey make you nervous a little bit seeing his, and you're like, dude, I just can't do that.
No, I wasn't nervous. I'm a natural athlete. So the only thing I wanted to do, I wanted to get to the plate. I wanted to actually throw a strike. It was outside a little bit, but
close enough.
I'm still proud of my pitch. Yeah.
Juan, why did you want number one?
So me in Kansas City, I was number 22. And when I got here, Grant was already number 22, so I'm not the type of guy that will try to like pay for a jersey or anything. I just felt like it was just time for a new start. And number one just seemed nice. Like, it just is a nice catch to it, like the chosen one, the one and only. So, that's why I picked number one. And it carries you in a different way. Like, you have to carry yourself when you're number one because everybody feel like you're like that guy. And I want to be seen as that because every day. I do. I feel great. You know, when you wear number one, you just feel like you gotta look nice. You gotta play better. I like that feeling.
Juan, can you just talk about on social media? You know, you love having a little bit of fun with the fans.
Oh yeah.
Just talk about being positive. Can you just sort of address that a little bit?
So my tweet's not really anything negative. It's just, like, in Kansas City, I use them because that's where I was before. But in Kansas City, like, those fans there, they were, I would say, too cocky. Like, they were just like, we're going to win this week. And the players can feel that. Like, when you walk into the stadium, you know that you're going to win and everyone is behind you. You don't want to be walking around with fans saying, I don't know if you're going to win or not. I hope we win this year. Like, we don't want to see that as a team. We want them guys to be behind us, pushing us every day and be like, we're going to win. And once you have your fans backing you up, it makes us want to play harder for you as so fans.
Can you understand the three Super Bowl appearances there in Kansas City and this team has never been there?
It's all good. Like I said, it's a new start. Like, whatever happened last year is last year. This is a new year, and this is what we're working for, is to get to the Super Bowl this season.
But I mean, as far as the fans go, I mean, they're all in a good mood for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. When you're winning a lot, I mean, you're not going to sit here and expect to lose. So, I mean, that the fans definitely play a big role in that.
So, how would you describe the difference in Kansas City fans and Browns fans during your small interactions on social media?
I can definitely see a lot of similarities. Like, they're definitely confident. I mean, they support the team for sure. I'm not saying they don't. And I heard a lot, like, once I got here, they said the Brown fans are crazy. They be going nuts on game day. And in Kansas City, it was the same way. So, I would say they're very similar in that way.
So, what would you do to help this Browns team get to the Super Bowl?
I mean, they brought me here to win, so they brought in a great guy to help go get the football, get turnovers, get the ball back to Deshaun in the offense, so that's what they brought me here for, just to lock up any receiver that I'm going against.
We've talked about what it could be with Jim Schwartz, but now that you've actually been on a field with him now, just what are your impressions?
We got Jordan Atkins over here, too.
So with Coach Schwartz, I like what he's doing. Like, right now, he's not really putting guys in a free safety spot, a strong safety spot. We're just playing left and right, just basically so we can learn every position pretty much. So I like him because he just let guys play football and play fast. So that's the main thing.
He's like really hands-on when he's out there with you guys.
Oh, yeah. He got a lot of energy, for sure. He got a lot of energy, and he wants his guys to be great and make a lot of plays. So he looks out for his players, for sure.
Juan, just seeing how you are on social media, and even here, like, are you the kind of guy, a player who's like, you want to speak something into existence, like you're going to be overly positive?
Definitely.
Kind of regardless of the circumstances?
Listen, they say if you speak negative things will happen. That's what I truly believe. So if you sit here and speak positive, those positive things will happen. If you say you're going to win, and you step on that field believing you're going to win, more than likely you're going to win. I mean, you're going to play your hardest to get there. So I'm definitely that type of guy that want to be positive and bring, like, everyone to the room and just enjoy everything together.
And then just being out there with Grant actually on the field, what's it been like kind of getting familiar with him and actually playing out there with him?
I mean, it's new because, like, I've been somewhere for 4 years, having to learn his style of play, how he likes to play. But it's definitely coming together. We're starting to figure each other out a little bit more because I saw that a little bit today, us not having to really speak too much to each other, and we just know what each other's going to do. So I'm excited to play with him this year.
What do you think Zadarius is going to bring to this defense?
Who?
Zadarius.
Oh, I mean, the guy's a beast. I mean, just look at him. He made it to the Pro Bowl. Who's going to stop him? I mean, you got him. You got Garrett up front. You got all the other guys. They're going to put pressure on the quarterback. So they're definitely going to bring the heat, which allows us to make more plays.
I mean, you're one of the first pieces brought into this defense, kind of the reconstruction of the defense. Were you surprised that Andrew Berry kept adding with such a big name as Zadarius kind of so late in the offseason?
I'm not surprised at all. I mean, because if you talk about the history, I mean, the Browns didn't really win last year, so AB is going to bring in as many guys as possible to win. He wants to win. No one wants to lose, so I'm not surprised at all.
With all the winning you had with the Chiefs, what made you sign here when you were a free agent?
So I like to be like the underdog a little bit, you know, going into the season, not everyone thinking that you're going to be like the number one team. Like Kansas City, everybody put them up there at number one. They think they're going to win every year. But me coming here, I feel like I can add something to the team and bring something to the team to get us to that top level. And I just will feel accomplished if we did that.
Well, and last year there was a lot of communication problems. Obviously, you weren't here. But has that been discussed at all since you've gotten here, trying to make that an emphasis to clean up?
I wasn't, not really. We don't really talk about too much about last year. Like I said before, it's a new season. With me, I'm the type of guy that likes to be very vocal. So I'm going to try to get my guys lined up as much as possible and be pretty, like, good at what I do. So, yeah, we don't talk too much about last year.
Being out here today around the fans, especially shorts, what is an adjective
that
you use to describe the defense today, just being out
here? Fast, smart, and very intelligent.
Relationship with Rodney, and how do you think that you guys together are going to help kind of set the tone, and not just in the back end, but for, you know, for the whole league?
So with Rodney, he's actually played in this scheme before. He knows a lot more than we do. So he came in day one giving us little like nuggets to help us play better. So we both went to the University of Virginia, so we kind of know each other a little bit, and I just feel like we can relate in that standpoint. But Rodney's a great guy to add to the room. He's been here for a while. He's been in NFL, he know what to expect, so he's a great guy to have in your room to help you play better.
What made you get that tattoo?
So if you really look at the tattoo, I actually have the Brown and the Kansas City Chiefs, and then what round I was drafted. So what I'm gonna do with this arm is actually just track my journey pretty much. So that's pretty much how I got it.
What made you go with the elbow as opposed to the helmet?
I mean, that's what's in the middle of the football field, so that's why I pretty much went with the elbow.
Do you know why Jim Forbes is wearing a jersey today?
I do.
Why?
So we had a guy, 51. I think that's the number he was wearing today. 51. He, in the team meeting today, he basically brought us all in, and he let him give his speech. And pretty much he just wanted to support him pretty much in his journey here, how hard he worked. So that's pretty much why he wore 51.
Juan Thornhill, a great addition to this defense. Rodney McLeod, a great addition to this defense in the secondary, joining up with Grant Delpit. Excited to see what can happen in that Browns defensive backfield with those additions. And, of course, Grant Delpit continuing to develop and get another year under his belt. Hour one in the books. Time for hour two on this special Friday edition, Memorial Day weekend edition of Cleveland Browns Daily. Browns wide receiver Elijah Moore. You'll hear from him next when Hour 2 begins and Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, a sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, coming soon to Ohio, continues on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
When you're on the injured list, they can help get you back in the game. Call 1-800-ELK-OHIO for a free case review. Elk and Elk, proud partner of your Cleveland Browns. I'm Jason Gibbs. This is a special Memorial Day weekend edition of Cleveland Browns Daily. On this Friday, hour two underway, and more from the podium at this week's OTA availability. Here's new Browns wide receiver, Elijah Moore.
How's it been getting acclimated with Deshaun?
It feels good. I feel good. I'm glad to be with the team. I feel like practice has been going smooth, so I can't ask for them. You know what I mean? Anything better.
How did you guys get out of the Puerto Rico trip? I know there was some pleasure, some work. What was that?
A little bit of both. It was a smooth week of just connecting and, you know, gelling with the teammates, the camaraderie. I got to learn a lot of them boys, you know, from a different perspective. And I feel like it's only going to help out here. So we all stayed until, like, Friday, and then we came back and got straight back to work.
What's it been like working with Amari? I know you talked with, you know, your introductory Zoom about how excited, how much you kind of looked up to him. Now being around him for a while, what's that been like for you?
It's been cool. I'm getting to learn his personality more. You know what I'm saying? A quiet dude, but definitely has a lot to say. As far as, I should have caught that. Y'all would have been like, but a quiet dude, but he definitely has a lot to say. I could tell he's super smart and he loves football, so. I didn't really get to see him do too much. You know, he's getting himself right. But as far as a person, I feel like he's super cool.
Do you feel like you're gonna have to be the sort of louder voice in that wide receiver room a little bit?
I feel like I got to be whatever the team needs me to be. You know, it calls for different moments and different times, but we all got to put our head down and work too. You know, if that's what it takes, not say nothing and be the person of example. That's what I got to be. You know, if I got to speak up, I got to speak up.
What is the biggest adjustment of getting used to a new team?
Probably just learning everybody, and then the quarterback with the, different quarterback, different arms, seeing what he sees, and just the communication around the team. You know, everyone communicates different, but I feel like it's going to go well, so, I can't complain.
What have you learned by being around Deshaun for the last, months?
He loves football. You know, that was the first thing I was probably most excited, to see up and close, because I heard all the stories growing up, watching him in college, seeing all those national games and watching him work and stuff like that. So seeing how much he loves football, we were in the hotel and he's in the playbook. When we chilling on the beach, we just got done working out. We all got to work on it and he's still in the playbook, So seeing how he is with that only gives us more confidence. Let us go look at the playbook one more time, So I can't ask for nothing better.
Really excel in scramble drill and improvising a little bit. Do you think that those skills suit you and that you guys have kind of a natural chemistry to be able to excel in that area?
I feel like we don't have a choice. With him having that, component of with his legs, I feel like you have to be good at the off schedule stuff. It's just gonna have to be part of the game.
Is that off schedule stuff exciting for you as
well? Oh yeah, I feel like, man, they get tired, we keep running. We run all day anyway, so I guess it's just another tally for us as far as positive.
Do you feel like when you look at the trajectory of your career so far, you started off really strong as a rookie, things didn't go exactly the way you wanted them to last year, and do you feel like it's just going to be kind of up and up from here?
Yes, man, that's why I came here. And if you're not thinking like that as any player, then you have the wrong mindset. I hold myself to be a positive person. Obstacles come just like how I handled last year, and I feel like it only put me in a better position to go through life, let alone football now. So from this point on, I'm looking to be a better human being, a better football player, a better brother, mother, whatever it is, because that just didn't affect, I love football. That season didn't just affect football, it affected my life, whether it was good and bad, so I got to learn from it.
How much fun? Like, people got the wrong impression of you as a person from the stuff that came out?
Social media is going to do its thing. Media is going to do its, its thing. The people in the building know who I am and what I stand for and what I do when I go home and how I am. So I can't really live for trying to prove myself to everybody else. And I'm still learning that. Of course, I would want everyone to see how much time I put into it, how much I love football, how much I watch highlights, this, that, and the third. You see what I'm saying? But they're going to see it, in due time. And I got to trust that. I hold myself as a high person of faith. And knowing that, I can't worry, So it's going to come to the light when it's exactly supposed to.
With Deshaun's talent as a quarterback, what type of an impact do you think that that's going to have on you as a player, playing with someone like him?
I feel like it's going to have a great impact. For what he has done, years before, and for what he has – what I've seen him do in practice time and time again, and just the off-season work as far as the type of person he is, you can't do nothing but be confident in what type of person and what he's going to do out there. So,
piggybacking off of that, the guys around you, it's early, but so far, what have you seen from them that you think is going to be able to elevate your game and get the most out of you?
I feel like all the receivers, and I start with my receiver group first, I feel like they're all different, and I feel like that's a good thing. When you have all the same type of guys, it's like you're kind of seeing the similar things. And knowing that we're all different body types, different people are good at different things, so we all get to take it and watch what we see and put it in our bag, So I feel like that component alone is kind of all we need.
Looking forward to seeing what comes from this wide receiver room. It is very deep now. All of a sudden, a lot of jockeying for positions as training camp rapidly approaches in that wide receiver room. Coming up next on Cleveland Browns Daily, it's from the best podcast available. It's yours truly and the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, breaking down the 2023 Cleveland Browns schedule, complete from week one all the way through the end of the season, Cincinnati at home to Cincinnati on the road. We'll be back with more of Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Browns fans, we've reached the final round of our new dog logo contest. Make sure to let your voice be heard and vote for your favorite. One vote per day. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/dog logo to cast your vote. From the best podcast available, time to break down the 2023 Browns schedule. The day it came out, a special edition of the best podcast available. It's our favorite episode of the offseason. It's with the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, and yours truly, breaking down every game on the schedule, the positives and the negatives associated with this year's schedule. Have a listen.
Jim, appreciate a few minutes as we get ready here to embark on another season. And I want a big picture thought from you on this schedule. I can tell you that the schedule maker clearly did not get the great bottle of bourbon I sent over. And I don't know how many favors he really did for us here in this season.
It's good to be with you. This is a tradition, and it's a fun time. I mean, people love anticipating when the schedule comes out. How are they going to open up the season? Where are they going to open up the season? How many primetime games do they have? For all of us that are involved in the business, like you and me, our families sit at the edge of the seats when the schedule comes out because they're saying, what about the holidays? Where are you around Thanksgiving? Where are you around Christmas? Where are you around New Year's Eve? So all of those things get thrown in. But yeah, as you take a long look at the schedule, Jason, right away, you would have to say that the Browns will have a pretty good picture of where they fit in the AFC North 3 or 4 weeks into the season, because they're going to bump right in to the Bengals, Steelers, and Ravens 3 out of the first 4 weeks. So that's fast. There's no doubt about it. But it's going to be very, very imperative that you find yourself in a good fit at that early point of the season. That's the first thing that really comes out and hits you as you take a look at the season. You're not going to have to wait a long time. And some years you do, but not this year.
Yeah. Yeah, there have been years where we didn't play really a divisional opponent till October or even early November. That will not be the case here in 2023. With that, I know the fan base is ready. Let's break down the 2023-24 schedule, and we will kick it off breaking down the first four games of this schedule. You've got the extra preseason game. You've got some team bonding trips to Philly for joint practices, and down to the Greenbrier in West Virginia. You will need every minute of the preseason. You open up at home, and it's a good thing, on September 10th, and it's a date with Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, it's a wow game. There's no doubt about it. When you have a wow game and you anticipate when you're going to play the Bengals, that falls into that category. I normally like to see that a little bit later. For both teams, okay, but definitely for us. I like to see that a little bit later to get our legs underneath us. But can you imagine the atmosphere inside Cleveland Browns Stadium on September 10th? And let me play it out for you, Jason, because the Browns are not going to be around a lot this summer. As you just pointed out, West Virginia, first of all, playing then down in Canton in the Hall of Fame game, which I know is close, but it's not Cleveland Browns Stadium. The West Virginia trip, the trip to Philadelphia to have the joint practices with the Eagles and to play them. And then Kansas City to finish out the preseason. So the Browns are only going to play one game here in Cleveland, in the city of Cleveland, during the preseason. And so fans are going to kind of be watching them from afar, not necessarily as many times as normal out in Berea during training camp. So the atmosphere inside that stadium when they finally get back home and they're taking on Cincinnati is going to be amazing. Now, about the Bengals, here's the problem. They don't flinch anymore. They like to win. They set their bar very, very high. They, you know, they're Super Bowl team right now. They're a team that does not fear playing on the road. They feel they can win them all. This team goes into Buffalo and wins. It goes into Kansas City and wins. It goes into Pittsburgh and wins, and Baltimore and wins. I mean, that puts you in that elite class. So you're going to have to really be ready for them. Now, remember, they got off to a little stub their toe start last year in Cincinnati. They blew the opening game at home against Pittsburgh, They lost a heartbreaker against Dallas, and they found themselves in an 0-2 hole at the beginning of the season. And this is a team that probably aspires to say, hey, listen, let's do it different this year. Let's play the AFC Championship game in Cincinnati rather than going into Kansas City every year. To do that, you want to rack up wins early in the year. So yeah. It is a whopper of an opener.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It'll be a 1 o'clock game under the sunshine, knock on wood, Sunday, September 10th. Week number two.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't get any easier. It's a trip to Pittsburgh. And boy, it's the Steelers. You know it's going to be a big game. Let me throw a little wrench into it for you, everybody. Monday Night Football, week two in Pittsburgh, 8:15. It'll be on ABC. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, all the stars align. And it's another AFC North tilt in week two.
Yeah, and you're at the point for the Browns where the Browns have such lofty goals. And they should because of the construction of the roster and the talent on the roster. And I think the path is for every team is, hey, we want to win our division. And if the Browns are going to be able to do that, Jason, and I've said this to you and Nathan and all of our crew that we travel around with week in and week out, we have to start winning over there in Pittsburgh. That's when we'll know we have arrived. Now, I know we won that playoff game, but the last 2 years now, we've gone over there. And once again, we've fallen back into that, you know, bad habit of not playing well over there and having crazy things happen and losing leads and losing the games. So if you're going to be a contender in the division, you have to hold serve at home, which we did last year. We beat them all at home, but we didn't beat any of them on the road. And at some point, you have to start winning in Pittsburgh and you have to start winning in Baltimore. So I would say September 18th on Monday night, I would pick that night. That would be a good night to start that new lease on life.
Absolutely. So two AFC North games, first 2 weeks of the season. Week three, back at home. By the way, big picture, four of our first five are at home, and we'll get to the rest of them coming up here in just a minute. But week three, back at Cleveland Browns Stadium, and it'll be against the Tennessee Titans. I don't know who their quarterback's going to be at that point, but the Titans come in, and again, a team you can't sleep on with head coach Mike Vrabel and company.
No, he did such an amazing job a couple of years ago when he had them prepared to come in and play the opening game against the Browns that year in Cleveland. And they came into Cleveland and they stunned the Browns in the second half and blew the game open. So, and he knows the drill. He's from here, obviously, and he can really get his team ready. The big matchup, the marquee there is the two great running backs, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb. Okay, I mean, really, that's a beauty. That game could be over in an hour and a half if the two of them do their things. We could be out of there at 3:30, okay? Because those two running backs, if game plans are what game plans could be going into that game, and you're feeding the ball to these two thoroughbreds, that should be something to watch. Now, Chubb got the better of him a couple of years ago in Tennessee, one of the great Browns wins on their way to making the playoffs that year, and the Browns absolutely stuffed Derrick Henry in that game. But you're right. The Tennessee quarterback situation will be a big question mark coming into that game.
Onward to week four we go, and a date with another AFC North team. Three before we get, well, it's technically October 1st. So by October 1st, we will have played half of our divisional games. The Baltimore Ravens come to town. Lamar Jackson with that new contract. OBJ, Todd Monken running that offense. The Ravens come in, and if they're healthy, they are, again, a formidable foe here in the AFC North in 2023.
Yeah, this game, for a long period of time, this offseason looked very, very different because of the Lamar Jackson unsettled contract situation. But the opening night of the draft, that changed because the Ravens got that deal done with him. You know, they're very, very talented. When we have gotten them in the last couple of years, and specifically in Cleveland, they have not been healthy. Okay. They have not been healthy. Jackson himself has not been healthy. Sure. 2 years ago, he actually got hurt here and didn't finish the season. JOK got him on the ankle, and that was the end of his year. And last year in the game here, late in the year, he did not play in that game, and he didn't play the rest of the season. But you would have to think, Jason, October 1st, he would be ripe and ready to go, which makes them totally different, which makes it a huge game, and a huge game for Deshaun Watson, you know, to really, and these games early will be big for him because these are the division games that he's going to get a taste of. And, you know, we'll get a very, very good picture of how he's going to be this season, and especially how he figures into the master plan of how we can contend in that division.
Yeah. So your first four games, Bengals at home, 1 o'clock, September 10th, at Pittsburgh for Monday Night Football, September 18th, September 24th and October 1st, both home games against Tennessee and Baltimore, all 1 o'clock games over on the TV network side of things. Unfortunately, the one thing that I don't like, up next, the bye week. It's an early, early bye week,
right?
Just four games in, but it's the bye week nonetheless. And maybe after three divisional games, you might need a bye week.
Yeah, you really might. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You might need a bye week at that time. It's always tough to judge when the perfect time to get the bye week is. I mean, sometimes it comes too late. You know, it came late last year. And you have a lot of injuries and you might not be in it at that point in time. Sometimes if it, I mean, the ideal thing would be a little bit later, like right smack in the middle of the season.
Yep.
But where it is where it's at. We'll have to see what the physical condition of the team is and what the record situation is with the team. Because like I said, and certainly inside the AFC North, we'll have a pretty good picture of where they are and what they need to do as we turn the corner into the middle of October. But yeah, it really is, Jason. It's six of one, half dozen of the other as to when the perfect time to get the bye is. But this is a tad early.
Yeah, it is a little bit early. So on to the next four games here. This will take us all the way up through week nine of the 2023 NFL season. October 15th, a home game with the San Francisco 49ers at 1 o'clock. October 22nd at Indianapolis for a 1 o'clock tilt. October 29th, we hit the road and we go west, really far west. We go to Seattle to battle the Seahawks at 4:05, and then November 5th, a home date with the Arizona Cardinals at 1 o'clock. Jim, what do you see here? Four games, four teams outside of our division, and three teams from the NFC West here on this slate.
Tough game against San Francisco, no doubt about it, and it's all about that defense. Are you going to be able to block that front? Which was helped out by a guy that the Browns really wanted in when they didn't get Hargrave. Javon Hargrave in the opening bell of free agency, and he ended up going to the 49ers because he thought, you know, if the money was equal, I mean, he made the choice that he felt the path to the Super Bowl might be a little bit easier through San Francisco than here. But it's a phenomenal defense. It's a brilliant head coach in Kyle Shanahan. He comes back with a tremendous scheme that he is committed to, that running game and that, you know, wide zone running game that he does, that zone running game that he puts together. Their quarterback situation will be fascinating, though.
Yep.
It really will. I mean, who's going to play? Who's healthy enough to play? Is it the kid that was the last pick in the draft last year that took them down the stretch in Brock Purdy but got hurt in the NFC Championship game? Who's it going to be there? Because that's a major question. But that is a very talented football team and a team that has its sights set very, very high.
Yeah, very happy that we get them at home at Cleveland Brown Stadium and we don't have to go to San Francisco. The last time we were in San Francisco, it was a Monday night massacre, as I like to call it. It was a very long flight home.
That game was over on the first play of San Francisco's offensive night. Touchdown, like 85 yards.
Uh-huh.
The other thing, you know, I point out in this cluster of games that we're talking about, we have not defended Kyler Murray well. We've played him twice. Freddie Kitchens' team out in Arizona, and he ran all over us, and we just couldn't find him all afternoon. And that kind of ended any kind of playoff hopes we had in that season. And then if you remember, we lost that heartbreaker in L.A. to the Chargers, came home and said, you know what, we'll be okay. We'll play Arizona the next Sunday. And he did it again. But he did it, if you remember, on third down. We defended him, okay, first down, second down. But on third down, we could not defend him. And we have had a tough time against him. So we'll give it up to Jim Schwartz and see if he can find some kind of a net to control Kyler Murray, if he indeed is still the guy in Arizona. That'll be a homecoming for Jonathan Gannon, the new head coach of Arizona, the great St. Ignatius star, coming home now as the new head coach there in his first head coaching assignment.
And I think the other game is a trip to Seattle. Like, we've had some really good games with Seattle here, The last time we were in Seattle, I believe Johnny Manziel was our quarterback, and Zagura is still picking Skittles out of his hair.
That's right. Very, very good. Yeah, we have not gone out there a lot. And, of course, the tricky thing there is, and teams, you know, do it different ways, when do you go out there? Do you go out on a Friday or do you go out on Saturday? I remember a long, long time ago, Butch Davis took them out there on a Friday. And then the last time we went out there, I think we went out there on a Saturday. So it's a long trip. And that's the thing you have to fight off is the length of that flight and the distance that you have to go and the time change and everything like that. We'll see Geno Smith apparently in Seattle, as he's got a brand new contract out there and they've committed to him. So we'll see him. And I think the last time we saw him play against us was as a Jet at MetLife Stadium. And he beat the Browns late in the season one year as a New York Jet.
Yeah, I think the other interesting thing to note is the 49er game and the Arizona game are both 1 o'clock, which is 10 a.m. for those two teams. Great. I'll take every advantage with both of those two teams that I can get. I think our secondary will have their hands full with the Seattle Seahawks. So they will that wide receiver core in Seattle, especially now with the addition of Jackson Smith and Jigba. DK Metcalf, that is a loaded, that is a full bay for the secondary.
Yeah. And like you say, you're dealing with a noise factor out there. They promoted the 12th man out there in Seattle. It's a raucous place. It's a loud place. And so there'll be all kinds of preparations with silent count and communication and making sure that everybody is on the same page out there, because really that crowd, it's not that it can be a factor. It normally is a factor when the Seahawks play there.
Yeah, no question about it.
That's part one of our breakdown of the 2023 Browns schedule with the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, on the best podcast available. Like and subscribe today to the best podcast available wherever you get your podcasts. You can also check us out, youtube.com/Browns. Part two of our 2023 Browns schedule breakdown continues next on Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Be part of one of the most passionate fan bases in the NFL. Join the Browns season ticket member waitlist today for the best chance at securing tickets for all home games in future seasons. Don't miss out. Go to clevelandbrowns.com/tickets or call 440-891-5050 and reserve your spot today. Here's part two of our schedule breakdown with the voice, Jim Donovan, and yours truly from the best podcast available.
All right, to the next set of four games. We are now into November. November 12th, we go to Baltimore. November 19th, Pittsburgh comes here. Both of those are 1 o'clock games. Thanksgiving weekend, a trip to the Mile High City, and the Denver Broncos await us with Russell Wilson, a 4:05 game. Into December we go then, right after that, a week later, in L.A. to battle the Los Angeles Rams, a 4:25 kick there. It's a very tough four-game stretch here for the Cleveland Browns. Baltimore and Pittsburgh yet again. You're done with both of them by November 19th, which is great. But then the Denver game is a wild card, because what is Russell Wilson, and can Sean Payton revive his career? And then we talked about it on Browns Daily the other day. I don't think you can sleep on the Rams. I don't think they're just going to lie down. They're still a very talented football team.
Yeah, they are. You're right. The Denver's game will be fascinating, what Sean Payton does out there. And is it going to be a quick turnaround out there? Is he going to get it done in 1 year? Or is it going to be, you're going to get a year to, I'm going to see what I got and what I need, and then we'll really go after it the next year? And Russell Wilson was so not Russell Wilson last season that it will be very interesting to see what Peyton and Wilson and what that marriage is going to be like out there. You know, I have always thought that I like to stay in contact with Baltimore and Pittsburgh, especially in the last month of the year. You'd like one more crack at them. So like when you said, hey, we'll basically be done with them, and you're right about that. You know, a lot of times maybe you want them in early December because the division is still up for grabs at that point in time. And this whole cluster of games now, Nathan, Jason, this is when you make your run, if you're going to do it, right around Thanksgiving. If you're going to make the run for the playoffs, this is when you do it. This is when some team gets hot at this point in time and they make a run for it. Detroit being a team that made a run last year and almost did it and almost pulled it off. Jacksonville got hot at this time last year and then got into the playoffs.
And a team in our own division in the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, that's Mike Tomlin and company. They seem to flip a switch every mid-November, and they go right into things and just kind of take off from there. So Ravens and Steelers on the 12th and 19th at 1 o'clock, at Denver at 4:05, at the L.A. Rams at 4:25. That's back-to-back West Coast weeks. That'll be interesting to see from a logistics standpoint, maybe what this team does for that 10-day stretch, because it's a quick turnaround. You mentioned it earlier. Are you going out early to get adapted to the altitude? If that's the case, we're probably going the day after Thanksgiving. So it's going to be something that bears watching, I think, here for that 10-day stretch right after we play those two.
You know, the altitude factor, great story about that. The year after the drive, when we went into the fumble and the AFC Championship game out in Denver, the Browns wanted to climatize themselves going into that championship game. The drive, of course, was here, but the fumble was out there. So we went out to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and spent the week at the University of New Mexico. And I was doing my sports shows from the famous basketball arena, The Pit.
The Pit?
Yeah, Pit. Oh. Yeah, I was doing shows from The Pit. And it was all to get the Browns climatized by the time they got to Denver. Now, by the time we blew into Denver like on Friday night. We were there all week, right after they won in Cleveland the weekend before. And it was a phenomenal game. I don't think the climate was the problem. It was the fumble that was the problem. But yeah, it's interesting how teams try and handle that, you know, going up there and playing in Denver and the altitude factor.
Yeah, it will definitely be something that bears watching. All right, on to now our final five games of the regular season. And this takes us from December 10th all the way up to that first weekend in January. So with that being said, December 10th, we come home. And it's a very tough matchup with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I think could be the class of the AFC South. Mm. The following weekend, the weekend before Christmas, a game against the Chicago Bears. And this one is a TBD. And it's that way because we're probably in play for once again to appear on NFL Network on their Saturday triple header coverage. That would explain why that game is TBD. And if history is any indication and the ratings are any indication, I would bet that if things play out the way they're going to play out, we would probably play Justin Fields and company on Saturday. What do you think about those two games, two up-and-coming teams here?
Well, you're absolutely right about Jacksonville. What a difference, right? When we went down there a couple of years ago, Urban Meyer's the head coach of the team, and Trevor Lawrence is his rookie quarterback and the franchise quarterback, and that thing was a mess. And that was preseason game number one, but you could tell you didn't have to be a football fanatic or a know-all to take a look at that situation in Jacksonville and say, this is a mess. This is not going to work out. And I pitied that poor kid, Trevor Lawrence, with the situation that he was drafted into. But what a change that has been to get a real pro in there in Doug Peterson and get talent around that kid and what they were able to do last year. So that is going to be a great game. That really is, because I think they're very, very legit. The Bears are interesting. I mean, they really are. I mean, you know, look at what they did in the draft. They moved around to accumulate things, you know, giving up the first pick. Justin Fields, we've seen him a couple of times, once in a regular season game, his first start, which was awful. but I have to tell you, I blame that on Matt Nagy. Remember, Jason? Matt Nagy gave him just a brutal game plan that day. That's when Myles Garrett had all those sacks. And then we played him in the preseason last year when there was a lot of doubt coming into the game about him, and he lit the Browns defense up on that Saturday night that we played them. That was the last preseason game. And I think they had a better feel for him going into the regular season after that. But it will be interesting to see what the Bears are like.
No question. Final three games of the regular season, Christmas Eve, good news. We will be in a dome stadium. It will not be 25 below zero. We will be in the great city of Houston, Texas, on Christmas Eve at 1 o'clock. And then, well, it's a very, very short week. Thursday night football, and with it, Aaron Rodgers and the New York Football Jets for an 8:15 tilt. You go Houston on Christmas Eve. You get Christmas Day to catch your breath. And then I'll kiss my wife on Monday night, Christmas night, and tell her I'll see her Friday morning at about 3 a.m. It is a full steam ahead as the Jets come to town for Thursday night football. And then the final game of this regular season, it is in Cincinnati against the AFC North defending champion, Cincinnati Bengals. Game day and time to be determined, but it'll be that first weekend in January. Quite the challenge here for the Cleveland Browns as they wrap up the season.
Yeah, I think on Christmas Eve, it will be a much different scenario than when we were in Houston last season. They were awful, and they were a mess. And now they've got the new coach, DeMeco Ryans is in there, and they've got the draft pick. You know, C.J. Stroud is in there. They've used those draft choices. So that will be fascinating to see. But I think they'll be in a much better direction than they were last year, where a lot of people, and of course, remember, that was Deshaun Watson's first game back. And certainly, wow, what a game to go back into the place that he wanted to leave, which was Houston. I don't think there'll be any more of that dynamic. I think it will be all football. But I think we'll have a much more competitive Texans team than we saw last year. Wow, that the Jets Thursday night game, that could be a wild game. Here's what I always hope for, and I look at this schedule, Jets and then the Bengals to end it on the road. You just want those games to mean something. I mean, there you want a lot out on the table when you're going to play those games, because you look at them right now and they're exciting. And then you have to wait for them, and you have to wait and watch how the season plays out to hopefully be still in it as far as the playoffs are concerned in the division race. And if you are, that's a tough twosome, and that's going to be very exciting. So to get one at home against the Jets with the whole Aaron Rodgers story, but to end in Cincinnati, that will be something too. That will really be a classic if there's a lot riding on the game.
Well, and really, it's interesting because normally that mini bye week comes in October or November. We're probably one of the last, if not the last Thursday night game. We're the next to last Thursday night game, right? We get a mini bye before you get the Cincinnati Bengals. So if you can get to those last three games and they all mean something and you take care of business at home against the Jets, you've got a few extra days to get ready for Cincinnati.
Yeah. Here's the other thing, Jason, where will the Jets be at that time? Because a lot of people have them as a team that will be right there with Buffalo and Miami now in the AFC East race, with New England suddenly out of the picture in what looks like a pretty significant rebuild. But where will the Jets be? And how did that all go? The day in, day out, New York media dealing with Aaron Rodgers, and how did he deal with them? And how is Robert Saleh putting all of that together? Now, we've got a lot to chew on going into that game, because there's still a bad taste in the Browns' mouths how that home opener last season went against the Jets and how that lead just slipped away from them and they ended up losing that game. So there's a lot to play for there. But really, I just hope there's a lot riding on those two games, because they've set up beautifully on the schedule. And those would be some atmospheres that you want to be a part of big games. And you could certainly have the potential to have two biggies at the end of the year.
Indeed. And that is your 2023 schedule.
As Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura say, so much more to come. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Back here, one final segment on this Friday going into Memorial Day weekend 2023. We hope you have a happy and a very safe Memorial Day weekend. We will be back with you on Tuesday, and we will join you from the Browns Foundation golf outing. Always a good time. We'll be positioned on the tee box of one of the golf holes, and we'll be talking to players as they come through. Zagura will try to hit drives and impress people, and that's how things will go. Looking forward to that next week. And then another round of OTAs before mandatory minicamp, June 5th through the 8th. One final segment this week. It's been a rough week for the Browns family and the loss of the great Jim Brown. A great friend of show, Rich Eisen from the NFL Network, remembering Jim Brown. I'll let you have a listen to Rich's memories of Jim Brown from NFL Network.
I just want to start from your perspective on the impact that Jim had on this league, on this game, and, of course, on you.
Well, I just remember when we first started out 20 years ago, and, you know, we're going to be on the air 20 years as of this fall. One of the first aspects about Jim Brown that I was privy to and saw firsthand was how revered he was by his peers and revered by those who followed him in the running back position in the NFL. And the number of running backs who I have either worked with, Marshall Faulk being the one that stands out, everyone else from the running back class, in Canton throughout the years, Emmett, they all would flock to Jim Brown whenever he would appear at the Hall of Fame, which was almost every year, that they wanted to pick his brain. They wanted to talk about him. They wanted to talk to him. And they also just wanted to, whenever they received praise from him, it was the ultimate that they could receive. I remember several years ago, just walking up the driveway of our old digs that we were in for about 18 years of our 20 or 17 years of our 20. There was a group of running backs that was shooting a round table, Marshall being one, and the late Franco Harris being another, and several other Hall of Fame running backs who were all there. All of them were there to celebrate Jim Brown's 80th birthday. And they were just so honored to have been chosen to be there with Jim, who was a very intimidating figure to be around, to be honest with you. I just remember meeting him for the first time. He came on NFL Network years ago. He was arriving too late to appear on a live version of NFL Total Access, MJ, and so he was supposed to post tape, as we say in the television business. He was supposed to record after our show so we could give him the amount of time that was requisite of Jim Brown appearing. And we were all excited to have him for the first time. And I just remember he went into our very makeshift green room that we had there. And he came out during a commercial break thinking that he was going to be on the live show that he was watching on TV in our green room. I guess someone didn't explain him that it was being post-taped. And he strolled out on the set, found me sitting at my desk in a commercial break with about 10 minutes to go in the show. And he basically said, "What gives? Are we going to do this or not?" And that was the way I met Jim Brown. I'm like, holy crap. Like, not only is Jim Brown, like, you know, talking to me, but he's angry with me. Like, what do I do here? And of course, Jim looked like he could give me about 10 reps, 10 carries on that spot. And that was about 20 years ago. So I just know him as somebody who was intense, who loved football, and obviously loved making an impact on a bunch of people throughout his entire career.
Oh, intentional is certainly a word that's, well, synonymous with how Jim Brown not only played, but also what he did off the field and beyond his playing career. Rich, you're more than just a broadcaster. You are a storyteller. So what will you tell your children about Jim Brown?
Well, I will tell them about his ability to run a football, obviously, being second to none, but him also understanding that there's more to life than just football. He left the game way early. I mean, everyone in our day and age will talk about Barry Sanders having left too early or shocking everybody having left too early. Jim did that. But he did that to, get a new career in Hollywood, in movies, in TV shows. And he came on my show several years ago and said he realized he did the right thing is when he showed up in a trailer on the set and was acting with Raquel Welch, and people were saying, "Here's your coat, Mr. Brown. Here's your drink, Mr. Brown." He's not used to that sort of treatment in the NFL. And then he obviously meant so much in terms of activism, his American organization and everything that he he was trying to do for inner city youth and for social justice. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I'm not watching right now because I'm on the phone. I'm sure there's many occasions, maybe over the first several hours of our coverage, the photograph of Jim sitting with Muhammad Ali and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Russell. I mean, these are the titans of his world when he was a player, and then throughout afterwards as well. And then again, just the legacy of just being one of the toughest players in the history of the NFL. And in terms of a story, this is a great one. It was really one of the first stories I was told as a member of NFL Network, way beyond, way before we launched. We were at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the summer of 2003. We launched in November of 2003. So it's coming up on 20 years that I heard this story. And I conducted a bunch of roundtable conversations for the network that we put on tape, not knowing when we would have to use them. And as a matter of fact, it was about the first year of our existence in which we used these stories. But at any rate, we had a round table. I had a conversation with Ronnie Lott and Merlin Olsen, may he rest in peace, talking about, you know, the hardest hitters in the game, the hardest hit they ever delivered to a player on the field. So the question I asked them was like, what's the hardest hit you ever delivered to somebody? And Merlin Olsen said, the hardest he'd ever hit anybody in his career as part of the fearsome foursome was Jim Brown, and how the Browns were coming to L.A. Coliseum, and they were talking all week, him and Deacon and everyone else, about how they were going to hand Jim Brown his lunch and they were going to take him out. And it was always very difficult, he said, to get a hit on Jim, but they were talking about getting a hit on him and really hitting him hard. So here they were in the first throws of the game, first few downs of the game, and Jim Brown gets the ball, and sure enough, he's coming around the end right at Merlin Olsen. He's going to get the cleanest hit he's ever gotten or ever dreamed he could get on Jim Brown. And Merlin told me he unloaded on him, like as hard as he's ever hit anybody. And as he got up, he said, you know, I was envisioning looking down on the turf of the L.A. Coliseum and seeing Jim Brown's eyes roll in the back of his head. And as he got up, instead of seeing that, he watched Jim go another 70 yards for the touchdown. Which is truly one of my favorite stories about Jim Brown or anything that I've heard in the 20 years of being with NFL Network and covering the NFL 24/7, 365. It's a testament to just his legacy and just how obviously known as a tough player, but it's like a fish story, right? I'm sure that run got longer with each time that Merlin Olsen told it, and the hit got harder every time Merlin Olsen told it. But Jim scored a touchdown in the hardest Merlin Olsen had ever hit anybody in his career.
That tracks. I mean, I don't think even if they added 50 more yards to that, that anyone would bat an eyelash at how the story has evolved. Rich, before I let you go, you mentioned there the Hall of Fame. Can you even wrap your head around what it'll be like there this August when you head back to Canton without Jim there?
Well, biggest cheers every year, MJ, is for Jim. Obviously, we're talking about Ohio. You're talking about Browns fans all over the place. And it's going to be somber without him, but he will always lord over it. He will always be that guy for the Hall and for every running back that's ever followed. Jim Brown, he is revered as the GOAT, and now Brady has entered this conversation for the greatest of all time. When we first started NFL Network, it was between Jim Brown and Jerry Rice, and now Brady's entering that fray. But that's it. You know, top players of all time lists will the argument will be between those three. And when I first started NFL Network in 2003, even with Jerry Rice's accolades, Jim Brown would still lead those lists and may still forevermore. He was the standard, and in so many different ways, so many different players have left the NFL, as we all know. And gone on to different things. Folks Strahan leap to mind, McAfee, obviously Pat, what he's doing in his post-career, and so many others, what they've done. Jim was the first, and the first in many different ways, Frank Gifford being another, obviously. But what Jim did post-career and then in his dotage, it really is something to behold.
Rich Eisen with some great remarks and great memories of Jim Brown, and there will be celebrations of life to come, and we'll have all those details for you as we start to put everything together. But It will be weird not seeing him in Canton this year, obviously, for the Hall of Fame, and especially in a year where the great Joe Thomas is going in. It will be different. He will be missed, but I know he's looking down with a little smile on his face as this Browns team will play in that Hall of Fame game against the New York Jets and kick off their 2023 season. Thanks to Jim Donovan and the Best Podcast Available crew, Elijah Moore, Juan Thornhill, DeJuan Jones, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. For Nathan Zagura, for Bo Bishop, have a great holiday weekend. We are back with you on Tuesday from the Browns Foundation Golf Outing. The next level is next. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.